there. Great to see you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us once again here on Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. Coming up in the second half of our show today, why do you vote the way you do? We're just days away from Ohio's primary, and there is some psychology to your politics. In fact, so much so, it's an actual field of study. And we have found one professor who dives into political psychology, and I ask her where the middle of the road in politics went. We'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. But first, speaking of politics, a group of local business leaders and community leaders petitioning for a change to the Toledo City Charter on the November ballot. It would allow Toledo mayors a third term in office, matching City Council's three-term limit. Coincidentally, Mayor Wade Capsicavage is currently in his second and final term in office. Not saying there is a cause and effect there, but we'll get into all the timing of that. Now, a little history before we get to our guest. The Capsicavage administration promoted a charter change in the 2022 ballot item. At the time, it was issue 21, and it would have done the same thing. However, it had some add-ons like funding for streets, and voters rejected it. So that brings us to today. Please welcome in with us here on Leading Edge, co-founder of Maumee-based financial services firm Savage & Associates, that's Bob Savage Sr., and also Michael Alexander representing the United Way of Greater Toledo. You can cough. You can cough. That is our official hello. Michael, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Bob, good to see you. Let's get people caught up on where we are with this petition. Did the effort, Bob, and I'll start with you, did the effort find you or did you find this effort?
Well, I've always been an advocate that when you have something going well, you try to keep it forever. I mean, if you don't do that, you're not paying much attention.
Yeah. We want to point out once again, this is not necessarily about Wade. This is about the position, correct?
Well, it is about the position, and there's no question that the people should decide who the elected people are. Having limits because somebody is fearful of, you know, Harry Zawadny dominating and all that stuff doesn't make any sense. And to my way, if you have something going well, you want to continue it. If you have something not going well, we've all seen some of each, you get rid of it. That's what democracy is about. That's the beauty of democracy.
Michael, you said this was one of those things that kind of, even before Wade was in office, it kind of triggered something in your head. Why is Toledo different from some other cities? And that is one of the things. And I want to get into the list of people who have signed on as far as this petition is concerned. But let's cover the first question. What was it that you recognized that Toledo was lacking?
I always felt that City Council had 12 years and that the mayor should coincide with that. He's the leader of the city. So I always felt that was kind of out of balance, and I always thought, not because of Wade, but in the past I felt that way. And so now that this opportunity has came, I just felt that I feel like I'm glad Wade has the gumption to push it forward.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
Michael, I'm going to have you take your microphone and just move it. Our bow tie is hitting it a little bit. And just if you could move your microphone down to the center of your V-neck, that'd be great. Bob, as we talk about this list, and as I go down, I'm looking at a former Huntington Bank executive. I'm looking at somebody with BP Oil. I'm looking with some at names here. Will Lucas obviously doesn't need any introduction. Some construction heads throughout the amalgamation of this list. They're not all people who live in Toledo. And we talked about this last night before we came on, and you said to me, this is bigger than just a Toledo issue. Mm-hmm. Why is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, the people should have the right to decide who governs them. That's what democracy is about. I'm not a great believer. You know, I was in government. I enjoyed it a lot. Very young guy when I was in. My brother
put his city council member.
So I was city councilman, president of city council, top vote getter, in fairness. And, you know, my brother talked me into running our company, which was not quite as much fun to many days, but certainly paid better. We have six kids, and they go to good colleges.
Yeah.
And it's because of that. So to me, it just seems to me that we ought to do the thing that's long-term smart. Mm-hmm. I think it's long-term smart to let the people decide. If somebody's bad, throw them out. If they're good, keep them forever. I mean, I...
Forever.
Forever.
You know, so, no, that would be another petition, right. Bob, no, probably.
No, what I'm saying, I would have, it's up to the people.
Yeah.
And it should be up to them.
Yeah.
Nobody should stay forever.
Michael, let me ask you this, as far as the list of names, and when you look at this, and people can find this on WTOL.com as far as who has signed on to this, but when you think about this grouping of people, the companies they represent, they are business leaders, not necessarily centered in Toledo. So why the mindset that what happens in Toledo affects outside Toledo?
Correct. I believe that as well, that we're the engine that drives everything else around us. If Toledo fails, I think it brings down the neighboring communities to some extent. And so that was that's the way I feel about it. I feel Toledo's strong, and then everybody else around it is strong as well. And then, like what Bob said, ultimately, every 4 years, you got to sell yourself to the people, and you got to be reelected. Mm. It's not a blanket thing, you know. They got to come back before the people, and if you're doing a good job, you get the next term. Even when this passes, even then, he's got to show the people, got to say, okay, you're doing a good job. Yeah. You can have the third term.
There was something that came out after this was released. People were asking us. We didn't have the answer. It's like, how do these individuals benefit from being a part of this? Because it's kind of like, what's in it for me kind of a thing. Is that a fair assessment? I'll ask both of you.
I think some of them, they're jobs. I mean, I know Scott is active with doing stuff for the building trades. Mm-hmm. And so work that comes into the building trades, I'm sure that they felt that during this time of Wade in office that they've had been successful. And I think that ultimately they're looking at it from a point of how does this affect my members? And I think that's how they're looking at it. They got members that stay in the surrounding communities outside of Toledo and stuff. And I think that is probably why they've signed on as well.
And Bob, same for you. You told me a story last night about why you moved out to Maumee, your business out to Maumee, Lucas County proper, but you grew. Right. You didn't have the real estate available that you said in the city of Toledo. However, what happens in Toledo affects you still. And you are a Toledo resident.
Well, yeah, and the truth is we all live in metropolitan Toledo. The political boundaries really have not much to do with our lifestyle or what we're doing or what happens. But they are what they are. If I were czar, nobody would want me to be czar, including myself or my wife, we would just have one big ring around the population base, and everybody gets to vote. And whoever wins, wins. You couldn't sell that politically in 111 years. People like to have their small little places. God bless them. That's democracy. They should have it. But the big city, I think it's important that we have leadership. I don't think we should have anything that restrains people, and the people should be able to pick from the ones wanting to do it, and you'll have better government. I think we've had very good government, by the way, in Toledo, and I've watched it since I got out of college pretty closely. Yeah. I was president of city council a long time ago.
The petition itself, I asked you, is this a petition from the standpoint you're just asking for something to be done, or you guys are going out and getting names and getting signatures?
Though I won't be probably active part of that, but I will sign one, you know, that I support it being on the ballot and letting the people decide. I believe they probably have some different groups that are going to be doing that.
We got 1 minute left, Bob. What is the palatable thing that you can say from your long history of watching government, city government, what's happening in Toledo? What is good right now that is happening?
Well, I think what's good now is we have a very good first-class leader, by the way. When I was president of city council, John Potter, who's a Republican, was the mayor. He's an outstanding mayor. And so if you get a good person, and we got one now, we should do whatever we can do to keep him interested. Because, you know, you can get worn out being a top public official. So I think we ought to groom people on both sides of the aisle and make it a better city. That's all of us want.
That's all of us
want a better city for our kids.
Bob Savage, Michael Alexander, thank you for being here. Once again, looking to change the city charter and extend the term of the mayoral position. We'll have much more from Leading Edge. Guys, thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll
have much more coming up right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back here on Leading Edge. We are just days away from Ohio's primary, and while casting a vote in the presidential primary may be moot at this point when it comes to the number of delegates, there is still a ton on the line. Today, we wanted to dive into who we are as a voting public, try to answer why we do what we do when we go into the voting booth, and where the middle is in politics these days. I asked our guest, John Hopkins political science associate professor Liliana Mason, about her specialty field, political psychology.
It existed as a field before I started doing it, but it was relatively, it's a relatively new field. Where effectively what we do as political scientists is that we borrow theories from social psychology that explain how people interact with each other, and just apply them to our politics. And it turns out that it works really, really well because these are just human behaviors. And so it almost feels like cheating to me because we get to use these theories that, we know for sure already work, and then use them to help us have a much deeper understanding of what our voters are doing.
Fascinating. That is awesome. Talk to me a little bit. I brought this before we started here. I said, where has the middle in politics gone? Is that a fair question?
I think so. I think that there's sort of two questions embedded in that. One of them is sort of, where are the moderates, people who are kind of they're relatively centrist in most of their opinions about things. And I think that those people actually still exist to a large degree. They're out there. They're a huge part of our population. But a second way of thinking about it is like, where are the people who are not Democrats and not Republicans? And that's a much harder question to answer because effectively, even the people that call themselves independents these days, they behave like Democrats or Republicans in that they always vote for the same party. They, you know, they follow the same kind of leaders. They're really invested in politics in a way that makes them look like partisans. And so they're not really independents. And so that question is, you know, why do we feel so committed to, or why do we feel so pushed towards choosing a side in our politics these days? And the answer to that is that it is. We're talking about really big questions in our politics. We're talking about matters of equality and identity and representation and democracy itself. And when we start having those really important political discussions, people feel like they really are on one side or the other. But in another way, it's also that our leaders are encouraging us to think that way. Our leaders are reminding us we're us and they're them, and you need to make sure that you're not on their side. And so that makes us actually hate each other a lot more.
It's so funny because the questions that I scripted out and what you're hitting upon, it was like two and three. It was my next couple of questions, what you just touched on, because I literally have sitting in front of me, what defines a Democrat? What defines a Republican these days? If the independent has no definition, then how are these parties being defined right now? Do members of these parties even know what they stand for?
So something has happened over the last 50 years, I would say, maybe even more than that, which is that, and I call this in my book, Uncivil Agreement, I call this process social sorting, which basically is that the Democrats and Republicans have become very different from each other on a social and cultural level and on an identity-based level. And so while there, you know, 70 years ago, there were liberal Republicans and conservative Democrats. Race was not a very good predictor of which party you would be in. Religion was not a very good predictor. And today we have this much more organized and sorted system of parties so that our racial identities are connected to our partisan identities, our religious identities are connected. We live geographically in different places now, so we don't actually see each other. Democrats and Republicans aren't around each other physically as much anymore. We're not in as many sort of mixed groups of neighborhoods and that type of thing. And so what ends up happening is that the party itself feels like it's everything that you are. And it's very hard to imagine yourself being a member of the other party because your race, your religion, your culture, everything, the TV shows you watch, everything is wrapped up in that partisan identity. And so it's not even necessarily about like, what exactly do we think the role of government should be? It's instead, who am I and who is us? Versus those people over there who are bad and perhaps even subhuman. We have some people thinking that way. So it's actually much more of a visceral feeling than it is kind of a rational thought process at this point.
Stay right there. We will continue our conversation with Lily Mason right after this and more on why we vote the way we do. Welcome back. We wanted to get back to our conversation with Liliana Mason from Johns Hopkins University and her studies into political psychology and where common sense wins in voting over party lines for candidates and voters.
Once we end up with this super strong sense of partisan identity, then the party itself feels like our community. And so not following the party line feels like a betrayal. And this is something that we are very much hardwired to be worried about. I mean, in the very beginning, the origins of humans creating societies, it was very important for us to make sure that we didn't have traitors within our society, right? Like, even more dangerous than an outsider trying to attack us is someone within our group betraying us. So we have these very just sort of basic psychological motivations to make sure that the people in our group are being loyal to our group. And when we engage in politics from this identity-based perspective, then we're much more motivated to think about it that way and to avoid compromise altogether.
So it's political psychology. Is there political therapy available for people in this country?
Some of my friends and family seem to think that I am that person. I can't offer very much help. I'm sorry.
I kind of said that tongue in cheek, but I also, I'm being very serious because obviously we're all being told this is the most important election of our lives. We were told that 4 years ago. We were told that 8 years ago. We were told that 12 years ago. So it continues to compound upon itself. Is that just the reality of what we're looking at going forward?
I mean, we're also looking at very different visions for the future of America. And that's part of the reason why each of these elections feels so important, is that we really have in the two parties completely different visions of what the future looks like, whether or not we are, trying to create a more pluralistic, multi-ethnic democracy with, increasingly progressive goals of sort of what does an American look like and who counts as a full American. Versus, the definition of make America great again, right, is like let's go back to a time when things were more traditional. And those visions are literally pulling in different directions. It's very difficult to find a compromise or to even feel safe saying, well, if they win, then I'll be okay and I'll just try again next time. Because the ultimate goal of the party is the opposite of what you actually think America should be. And so it feels dire because the stakes really are very high, and our identities being involved in that is part of the explanation for why the stakes feel high. But also, I mean, we've gone through a real partisan realignment where for a long time the parties were not very different from one another, and it was hard for people to even know kind of who they should vote for because they kind of seem the same. And now we're at the end point of a realignment where the parties are extraordinarily different from each other. And it's very clear to people what those differences are. And so
I would assume, and in your studies, it makes it very difficult to come to the middle, bipartisan agreement, things of that nature, correct?
Right. Even people who are willing to reach out and spend time with people in the other party, for them, it gets harder and harder because they feel less like a part of their own party if they're doing that. They are often not recognizing themselves in the rhetoric of the leadership of their own party if they're trying to be more cross-partisan, if they're trying to be to reach across the aisle a little bit more. But also because these are questions about kind of who we are as people and as Americans, our emotions get really, really involved. And it's really hard for us to get ourselves out of our emotional and identity-based responses to politics because our politics has become all about emotions and identity. And if we could, in the future, right, like if we could think of a better situation, it's moving to a place where the emotional part of our politics is suppressed and our leaders are encouraging us to kind of calm down and think more clearly rather than just fight and engage with anger.
I'll tell you what, I hope you found that fascinating. I sure did. Liliana has co-authored two different books, one of them Uncivil Agreement, the other Radical American Partisanship. You can find both of these on Amazon.com. We'll wrap things up for this week's Leading Edge right after this. Hey, welcome back. I wanted to point this out to you before I let you go for today. WTOL.com is the place to go. Let me get rid of that ad right there. We have had this up for weeks and weeks and weeks, but this is a go-to for everything you need to know when it comes to the primary. March 19th, this coming Tuesday, it is chock full of information. Where's my polling place? When are the polls open? What races are on my ballot? All those kinds of things right there. That's all you need to do is go to WTOL.com and click on the link for the voter guide, and we will be sure that you know every single thing you need to know before you head out to that polling location on Tuesday. I want to thank my guests once again here this week, Bob Savage, Michael Alexander, and Liliana Mason. Just a fascinating topic, not only for the petition to try to extend term limits when it comes to the mayoral position here in Toledo, but also political psychology, the fact that it exists. And I hope you do check out those books that Liliana Mason from Johns Hopkins University co-authored. A reminder to you, if you missed any part of our interview here this week, you can go check it out. Our WTOL YouTube page has all of our past shows, and you can click on each and every one of those date specific and find out what you missed. And just a reminder as well, Leading Edge is always a podcast each and every week. My name is Jeff Smith. If you have ideas for a Leading Edge show, be sure to send me an email. JeffSmith@WTOL.com is where you go. My name, Jeff Smith, of course. We appreciate your viewership each and every week. We hope you enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time here on Leading Edge. Just a reminder once again, here are those books co-authored by Liliana Mason on civil agreement and also Radical American Partisanship. Go find them, read them, check them out. Have a great week.